Because I tell you what, the cold front is a-coming next week. If you want to stay for a week, it's supposed to snow 8 inches tomorrow. And then it's going to be a high of 4 next week. I'm going to have to grow my beard 3 times what it is right now just to endure the coming weeks. I'm very grateful to spend a few minutes this morning in our devotional time. And a devotional's purpose is to get the heart beating a little bit, to spur on the spiritual juices within you, because some of us drove in this morning. We started a cold car a couple of hours ago, and we made our way across the Midwest terrain to this very hour. I want to encourage you to be enthusiastic this morning. You know, our brother Ben Barnett's going to get up, and I love listening to Ben, man. He is going to bring whatever he brings in spiritual goodness to us. But let's be ready to participate. Let's be ready to give our hearts. My job is to get that heart beating a little bit. And so the ebb and flow of this little devotional for the next 10 or 15 minutes is going to be this. I'm going to start a little heavy on you, okay? But don't lose heart, because it's going to get good in the middle, okay? And then we're gonna raise a banner, and we're going to close up this devotional, and we're going to embark on a day-to-day of learning how we can serve in greater ways, how God might expand this room, not to be the 100 gathered here from the Midwest, but the 1,000 gathered here from the Midwest. Those whose hearts have been so stirred and moved to believe that we don't just serve the poor when we serve the poor, but we embark on a journey that glorifies God in ways that are very unique, that are very powerful. You know, in a minute, I'm going to show you some maps and some statistics about what's happening just miles from here in the city of Chicago. I have come to believe that we need to share our faith at a grocery store and at the McDonald's, and we need to walk through a mall, and we need to reach out to the lonely soul sitting there on the bench with their child running amok. You know what I'm saying? We need to do those things as disciples. But I have also come to believe that with the 2,000-plus members of the Chicago church, and the couple of thousand people that make up the families, a couple of thousand more that make up the families of the Chicago church, we will not change the landscape of this amazing city that Robert talks about, this 10 million population metropolitan area. We will not change the force of evil at work in this city except through a heart to serve. Except through a heart that gets into the community and begins to make a difference. You can't walk into some of these communities in Chicago and just go on a blitzing campaign of inviting people to church. You may find one or two, but you got to get into that community. You got to stick in there. You got to be in there for the long haul. Your life has to be a reflection of compassion and concern. You've got to endure violence, and you've got to risk danger to your own being to change what's happening in this city just miles from us right here and now. But I want to propose to you today that first and foremost, a heart to serve is engaging in something spiritual, not something physical, okay? And we know this passage in Ephesians 6. Paul is concluding the great letter to the church in Ephesus, and he says this in verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Can I get an amen if we believe there are devil's schemes out there? We must be aware that you are front lines in servitude in our churches. And I'm so grateful to be among this group right here. But we have to understand that what you're about to hear today and take higher is this engagement against the devil's schemes. Because the spiritual realities of people's lives are reflected in their physical reality. And when we see violence and we see poverty, and we see gang activity, and I'm not an expert in these things, and others in this room are, but when we see the physical manifestation reflected in the lives of people, it's because of a spiritual condition that we get to impact and change through servitude. In verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." You know, I want to show you some maps here because I think a heart that wants to serve is a heart that says, "I will engage." And I'm preaching to the choir. I understand that. You drove here this morning. You're here. I should be speaking to the people that aren't here, right? You're like, "Don't talk to me about that. I am engaged." Dave Tomlinson's in Chicago for the third time in 5 days or something. You know what I mean? From Champaign. Like, you guys flew in here. You're engaged. But, you know, a heart to serve is a heart that says, "I want to engage. I want to participate." You know, the heart is reflected in the body doing something. You guys with me there? But, you know, I want to show you something that is disturbing so that we can kind of understand the spiritual reality of just of one city in a big world just miles from us. There are 130,763 known homeless people in the city of Chicago.
That's a city itself. 4,457 of those are unattached children between the ages of 14 and 17. There are believed to be over 20,000 and upwards of 26,000 sex trafficked victims in the city of Chicago in operation right now. The average age of abduction and beginning into sex trafficking is 11 years old for those girls. Marcy watched a PBS broadcast about a house in Chicago that houses sex trafficked victims. We got involved because we just said, we have to do something. And we began to serve, and we're trying to make a difference. We have a heart to do this, but there's so much more. There are believed, in 2015, check it out, there were 2,988 gun violence victims in the city of Chicago. Just over 500 fatalities. As of yesterday, at 5:30 p.m., there were 4,159 victims so far in 2016. Over 700 fatalities. Yesterday alone, there were five victims, a 17-year-old, two 19-year-olds, a 20-year-old, and a 50-year-old man. One of the 19-year-olds was a fatality. I want to show you this map. This map, this should work when I click, but let's just have the guys click it. That is a map that you can find online of every violent gun crime in 2016 in the city of Chicago. Every dot is a human being. Every dot represents somebody who was shot, wounded, or killed by gun violence in the city of Chicago. Okay? The wrong question when you look at a map like this, and this is the heavy part, guys, hang in there with me. The wrong question to ask is, what is wrong with the world? The Black Eyed Peas asked that, right? What is wrong with the world, mama? People living like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
We know the answer to that. There's darkness in the world. There's forces of evil in the world. The wrong question is, what's wrong with the world? We know the answer to that. The wrong question is, why are people so messed up? Yeah. Somebody's got to investigate that, but there's a spiritual condition out there. There are issues socially. There are issues all over the place. The wrong question is, why isn't somebody doing something about this?
Come on.
The wrong response is to turn off our TV and ignore the news that's flooding into our homes. Yeah. I've challenged the Chicago church. I've challenged the staff. Watch the news with intent. Take it in. See the spiritual condition of our city and let it do something to you. Well, it's overwhelming. That's why we get to engage and have a heart to serve that wells up in this body that wants to participate. The right question is this: what are we going to do about it?
Right.
It won't be a simple program. It will be an engagement at a level that is scary to us right now. But we'll get familiar with that, and then we'll take it even higher. The right question is, when can we get this thing going? I say today we decide we're going to do something bigger. Something stronger, something better. How can I participate in being a part of the solution to the glory of God? That's the right question to ask. You know, I'm convicted because Chicago has not emerged as a powerful force for hope worldwide. We're not there financially. We're not there voluntarily. I look at this and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how could we possibly change this landscape? When you look at some of the density of some of the crime that's going on, how do we change? How do we become a force of hope in the city of Chicago? Well, I think I have the answer. The next slide. The next slide is a map of where every single disciple in the city of Chicago lives and the house churches. And I looked at that and I said, that looks like the crime map. But you know what's so cool? Look at the density of where every blue dot is a house church in the city of Chicago. Every blue dot is where house churches meet for their midweeks. They meet for their leaders' meetings. They meet to contemplate and to pray and to fast together and to open God's word. Every blue dot, 175 of them in the city and the metropolitan area of Chicago.
Amen.
Every red dot is a household of disciples. Almost 2,100 in the city of Chicago. Go to the next slide. What's the answer to this? We need to get everybody on that side overlapping everybody on that other side. You know what I'm talking about? Look at that map, guys. You transpose that map onto that map, and you say, I want to have a heart to serve, and this thing, you've lit the candle. The rocket's about to launch. 10, 9, 8. You guys with me there? Go over to John chapter 5. You know, I love it because, you know, I know Robert calls hope the benevolent heart of the International Churches of Christ. But let me go back to the first thing we used to call it, the benevolent arm of the International Churches of Christ. But you know, we need the benevolent arm to inspire the benevolent army of the Chicago Church. I like that. I came up with that in the shower the other day, you guys. The benevolent arm becomes the benevolent army. And a group of people, a mass of people like that, that changes the world. And our job is to leave here today and to go back and not just do something as a volunteer yourself, but to literally influence thousands of people to overlap onto that reality and change it. And I want to, for you to consider, why does God allow us to participate? If I were God, who's perfect and could do it all himself, why risk it getting messed up by involving us? And this is kind of the closing thought I want to give you. I won't have time to develop it, but I at least have a time to put it into your mind. A heart to serve is best and most reflected in a person that is participating in that servitude. It's not enough to just care. You have to serve. You have to give. And this is where we're taking Chicago in 2017. 2017 will be the year of hope in the Chicago church. That's what's happening. We're going to meet our financial obligations. We are going to meet our financial obligations. I'm committing that to Robert. He's speaking to the board tonight.
I'm videotaping.
He's videotaping. We are going to see some programs develop. Bill and Wendy are doing some things. Other things are happening. We are going to see some programs develop. It will be the year of hope in the Chicago church. We will emerge as a force to combat the things I just put up there on that screen. But my job is to inspire that hope, is to inspire that volunteerism, is to inspire that participation. Why does God involve us at all? This is my closing thought. If he can do it all by himself, why take the risk? Why did Noah have to build an ark for 75 years? Because if you spend 75 years doing something, you're kind of like, yeah, me and God, we're in this together. You know what I mean? Why did he use David to kill Goliath? So that it can be stated that God can take the small and do the big. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Why use us at all? Because it really magnifies the glory and the power and the amazing nature of God when he can take something incapable and demonstrate its capabilities. We are up against a Goliath here. But that's where God shines the best. And I find that this participation idea is best for me described in this situation in John 5, where a man has for 38 years sat by a pool where he could be healed. He could be changed. But he's gotten the idea in his head that he's incapable of being healed. He's incapable of implementing change in his own being because he's become a victim of the circumstances. He's bought into a narrative that isn't true. And it takes Jesus to break through the mold and to say, no, the narrative you believe is untrue. The Chicago church can have the impact. To believe anything else is to believe an untrue narrative. We have untruths in our minds right now as we begin this day. I would ask God to break through those walls. Through Ben. Through the others who will stand before us. Through our times of conversation today. And so Jesus says to the guy, when he saw him laying there and learned how long he'd been there, the guy's called an invalid, right? One guy preached an entire sermon calling him an invalid. That was a biblical error. That was a theological error. But the brother who did the response to that sermon said he made very many valid points during the message. That actually happened, a 40-minute message on what it feels like to be invalid. Anyway, he lost some sleep that night, you know what I mean? Verse 7, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. You know, Jesus had asked him, I missed this point. This is what I wanted to say. Do you want to get well? You know, the question when you're making excuses is, what do you want? You know, Chicago has been sputtering along with support for hope for many years now, and we've had our ups and downs. We've tried different things. Bill and Wendy have stepped in. We've done all these things, but you know, we're really sputtering along. The question is, what do we want to do? And you can't just say, well, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to change this, and then go back and do whatever you're doing. You've got to change something, and then you've got to implement that change. You've got to participate. Because when we participate, God is doing all the heavy lifting. So then Jesus says to him, he says, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. The man is cured. But the moment is not solidified till that man picks up his mat and walks. He could have sat there for another 38 years. He would have been cured. It's the moment he actually picks up his mat and walks that God is acknowledged and glorified. That's the beauty of participation. God is going to do something amazing. Will we participate? God has got everything in control. Will I pick up my mat in the role I'm in and walk? Participation is the exclamation point on the work God has done. When we participate, we're making a statement of our belief in God and our belief that God will use the invalid, the invalid too, to do the work. And so then the man went on rejoicing. Isaac Newton, in the first law of motion, states, and I'm not a scientist, but I like this, a thing at rest will remain at rest unless acted upon by a force. Something will not move unless a force hits it. Let's find the point of impact today. He also says this, a greater force of good must hit the forces of evil and overcome. I mean, he says, a force will remain in motion in the direction it's heading as long as another force doesn't hit it. I'm saying it's time to hit somebody. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying the forces of evil are heading in a direction and they're going to keep going in that direction. They're going to go from 2,188 to 4,198. They're going to go from 500 deaths to 700 deaths. They're going to keep going and escalating, gaining inertia, gaining speed unless another force hits it. We're that force. We're that point of impact. That's what today's all about. Find the point of impact. Newton will be proud of you guys. But Jesus is going to be even more proud. Amen? We got a lot of things developing in Chicago I'm so proud of. We're going to serve 1 million meals through Feed My Starving Children. You know what? We got two brothers who went to a Panera. They collected $12 million worth of bread and distributed it to homeless shelters around the city of Chicago. $12 million tax write-off for Panera, so maybe it was $10 million, but they're saying it's 12. We're going to take 12. We've got Meta 24 on the west side of Chicago, where young people in the very difficult parts, in the most condensed parts of the city, are being trained how to be entrepreneurs, how to go into a Shark Tank environment, present their ideas, and make products and sell them out in the world at large. We've got a Meta 24 on the west side. We've got a Meta 24 developing on the south side. We've got 100 volunteers to mentor those kids in those programs. Wow. Things are developing, and we are going to make 2017 the year of hope. Robert recorded it, and we're going to have the Hope Summit at the end of 2017 right here in Chicago, and we will have some amazing news to share. God bless you guys. Let's have a great day today. Amen.